We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Thursday. Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Del Mendo, Ryan Herrera with you. And we got another big podcast coming up for you. We've got a one-on-one interview that we did with Tucker Barnhart, which we think you're really going to enjoy. We have some Nico Hoerner slander out there nationally that we're going to attack. And yes, maybe we're 30 seconds late, but we were talking about Jordan Lowe's versus the three quarters versus the high tops. So you understand that it was a very important question that slightly delayed us by 30 seconds. Forgive us.
Thank you for putting that over the show, because I think it was more important than the show too. For 30 seconds at least.
You'll Chat survive, is rolling. Guys. And by the way, Steven on the ones and twos today.
What's up, Steven?
Yeah, not Steven much. Cody, can you show everyone your shoes so they understand why we were talking? These are nice shoes. Look at those.
Have you ever worn those before?
Yeah, I've worn these. Have you worn
this? I was high. That was worth
the 30 seconds.
Jim Deshays wore those, I think, to Cubs convention. Somebody wore that pair.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, that's a nice look.
Yeah, it's like a dark blue type
dark
color,
navy.
Right?
Dark navy,
black
laces.
The only reason I wore them is because I actually got to drive my car to work today.
Very nice.
Didn't have to go through all the snow and stuff in these things. Because if I would have had to commute via the train, we'd be wearing some Adidas right now.
And you should have seen Cody down on his knees looking to make sure he wasn't in the yellow line where he was legal to park. I'm driving by just watching. I'm like, oh, man, he's really getting down on this one.
Listen, like the curb yellow for like a fire hydrant or something?
Exactly.
That's one I do watch. I parked out there last week, and I went and looked like three or four times, and I parked so closely that actually there couldn't have been more than like a half an inch between my front of the car and the car in front of me.
Listen, I've made it almost 2 years in this city without a parking ticket, and I'm not trying to change that streak.
That's bad juju. They'll stick it to
you. Yeah, you're just jinx yourself.
Not to get off track, but I once got a ticket for not having the updated sticker on my plate, and I had the damn thing in the car, just hadn't put it on yet.
Hadn't put it on yet.
Oh, was I mad.
Brutal.
All right, anyways, hey, if you're watching us on YouTube live, we appreciate that. And to everybody in the chat, that is obviously the best way to enjoy the whole experience. We appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe, though, so it just pops up automatically. And then give us the 5-star review. That would help us greatly. We appreciate it. Also, if you're downloading it on Spotify, 5-star review. We don't like 4 stars. 4 stars are for podcasts on other networks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Got that
5 stars only.
Even if you only think we're a 2-star, give us a 5-star. You know what I'm saying? Please.
Give us a 5-star and then leave some constructive criticism, like the guy who said that I say like way too much.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
I feel like you've gotten
he left 5 stars but said that I say like way too much. I'm pretty sure he left 5.
Yeah, yell at Cody as much as you want, but just, you know, 5 stars. It works out.
Also, very exciting that we have our very first ever Goose Island CHGO Cubs virtual happy hour.
Ooh, yeah.
Coming up, yeah.
Next
Wednesday, 8 o'clock. So we hope everybody in the chat's going to be there. We'll be tilting back a few Goose Islands at home.
Got to be a diehard, though, so make sure you're signing up. Go on, you know, allchgo.com. Mm-hmm. Sign up for that diehard membership. You know, come hang out with us. Come join the family. Come join the community.
It's going to be the one with the most vibes.
Yeah, we'll have some Goose Islands.
The one happy hour with the most vibes. Here's the deal. Other teams have had them here at CHGO. We need to blow everybody out of the water.
That's what I'm saying.
We don't want to be just like second or third. Like, that was a nice happy hour. Mm-hmm. We've waited a long time for it, so we need you to start recruiting your friends, and we need your faces. Please, no just letters up there in the Zoom. Like,
no doubt.
Yeah, if I'm going to show my face to all of you every day, I deserve to see your face.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We want to see Collada eye to eye once. Yeah.
Eye to eye, Collada.
We're looking for it. All right, so let's get to the slander right out of the gate.
The slander, here we go.
Because first I saw MLB Network is going through and rating players at every position. We did it in the podcast last year just for in the division. They're letting the fans put out their top 10 list for the position, and then they're doing a show and putting out their top 10 list. I didn't watch the show. I've only seen the two graphics.
Same.
The fan list had Nico Horner, I believe, at number 6 at second base, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They put out, MLB Network put out their top 10, word after it, right now. It says, right now it says, top 10 second baseman. So I don't want to look at this list and hear this crap about, well, he's a shortstop, that's why he's not ranked in our top 10, because it says top 10 right now. Mm-hmm. And right now, he is the second baseman of the Chicago Cubs.
I've never heard Stucky more fired up.
Well, Jose Altuve, some of the guys at the top of the list, you can look at it and go, I understand why. Jose Altuve, number one. Jeff McNeil, number two. Jimenez, number three. Marcus Semien hits a lot of home runs, 4. Brandon Lowe, okay, maybe 5. When you start to get to 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 on this list,
yeah,
I do think it's a lack of respect for Nico Horner. Like, I think it's almost slander.
Right. Ketel Marte is a pretty solid player.
I'm not saying any of those guys are bad.
Well, yeah, but, like, he's the one on there that I'm like, okay, that one makes sense. Or Brendan Donovan, like, yeah, he had a great rookie year. I believe he won rookie of the year. Or was
126
it?
Games.
But, like, yeah, we're talking about 1 year. Nico Horner's been in the league for a few years. He's coming off a great season. He's been in the Gold Glove conversation.
Yeah. Well, and then I told Luke, I'm like, at first glance, I'm like, just because maybe he didn't play last year, hasn't played at second base really in a few years, like, okay, maybe that makes sense. But then I also seen someone comment about, you know, Jad Chisholm not being on there, and 75% of his career games have been at second base. So I don't know how Nico Horner doesn't make the top 10 list. It feels like he should. He was, he at least defensively was probably at least in like the top 10 of shortstops last year. So you move him over to second base, that defense is still there. I don't know.
I got the numbers for you.
Luke's
and
Niren
says, you know, he's got to prove it, right? I agree, but the list they have says right now. Okay? And by the way, Donovan needs to prove it, and he's on the list. So that's why I don't buy that excuse. Steven, give us the graphic that I put together comparing him to some of these guys that are ahead of him. And Nico leads almost every – first of all, I tried to combine baseball reference numbers, fan graphs, so all the stats nerds out there can – I tried to put in old school numbers, new school numbers. I do my eye test numbers. Nico Horner, everybody tells me war is the most important thing, right? If you have to just grade a player on one thing, it's probably war. Nico Horner, 4.5 war. His war is higher than Gleyber Torres, Colton Wong, Marte. Okay, so now we go to batting average. He also has the highest batting average. So we go old school number. We got war, the all-encompassing one. Batting average, he's got more. He's the lowest in home runs, but it's not like somebody has like 45 home runs there that's ahead of him. The only guy that's really above that group is Torres, all right? But defensively, he's not even close. The WRC plus is fairly close. And then you look at defensive war. Nico's 14.3. Everybody else is a negative number. How could you leave him off the list? If you're going to tell me watching the Brewers that Colton Wong is a better player than Nico Horner, eye test,
I'm surprised,
you're out of your mind.
I'm surprised that Colton Wong is a negative defensive war. That's like the one thing he's always been like known for is the defense.
These were just 22. The only numbers for 22. Brendan Donovan, 126 games, 4.1 WAR. So again, lower than Nico Hoerner, smaller sample size, batting average exactly the same. Again, negative defensive WAR. Polanco's on the list. He's a 2.8 WAR with a negative 7.2 defensive metric. Where did they come up with the list? I count on MLB Network. First of all, I trust a lot of the people at MLB Network. Like they got a lot of smart people working there. How did they come up with this second baseman list?
It's also weird when you look at Brendan Donovan specifically, the fact that he played like seven different positions on the field. Like he never really was a full-time second baseman. And he's seventh on that list, on MLB Network's list, I want to say.
Yes.
They ranked him 126 games. Maybe the idea is that he's going to play more second base this year for the Cardinals, but he didn't play a whole lot of second base last year just because he played all over the field for him. So to say, like, oh, you know, he's probably going to play second base a lot more for the Cardinals, so put him on the list. But then,
right,
again,
but
not have Nico, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
All right, so if you're in the chat or you're listening at home, let's look at the list one more time. When you say top 10, and we include some of the guys that are later, who on that team would you be willing to trade Nico Hoerner for? Take salary out of it. Just look at the top 10 second baseman. Would you be willing to take Gleyber Torres back for Nico Hoerner? Absolutely not.
No.
I wouldn't mind him at third base for the Cubs. But I wouldn't take him for Nico Hoerner. Would you take Colton Wong in a straight up trade for Nico Hoerner right now?
No.
Hard no for me. No. Steven, you're a Sox guy. Anybody on there where you're like, yeah, I feel that. Like, I mean, obviously the Sox
are
don't have
factor
a second
in
base
age
meet.
Here.
Sure.
Sure.
Fair,
just straight up players.
Just straight up top 10 right now.
Forget the money part.
As much as I hate the guy, I'd probably take Altuve over him. McNeil has some injury history. He had a really good year last year. I think he was batting champ. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, Marcus Simeon's.
I don't know if that's repeatable.
If you were trying to win right now, I'd probably take Altuve over Nico Hoerner. Yes,
those top four, they're ones you can argue.
Yeah, Marcus Simeon, you could.
But when I get to the point where I start factoring in money here, no, I'd rather have Nico Hoerner. These guys are making substantially more. With exception of Colton Wong, who, I mean, even the Brewers weren't even sure they wanted to keep him.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm not sure how he's left off this list.
I'm not saying he's number one or number two. I just think it's a total disrespect to completely forget the guy. Because as Ryan's pointed out, you can't use the excuse that he played shortstop.
Yeah. Shane in the chat, he points out that they left off Albies as well. So
yeah.
And he's...
Yeah, how's
he's
that?
Very good.
Great. That's a great point.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I just
did I read it? Was this an article on the Onion? was this an Onion post or was it really?
Luke has gone full me on this segment.
I'm just looking at Luke it thinking it doesn't make sense. Am I getting punked?
No, man. This is MLB Network. They put this together and then hit send. And they were like, let's see what we started. Like, let's see the fire we started.
Sometimes I wonder how much of it, like, you think that in the back of their minds they're talking about, like, you know, let's troll people. Let's get the conversation going. Let's get some hot takes out there. Maybe a little bit. You never
know.
Let's
see if we get CHGO Cubs
do that.
To talk about it.
We should just start doing our top 10 list of guys around the league. Top 10 second baseman in the league. Like, the CHGO Cubs.
We got enough time between now and the start of the season. We will be doing it. Luke Delmendo, Dustin says, Colada's got a great one. Michael Colada, is it Altuve with or without the wires under his jersey?
Yeah.
Zing and the truth.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's be honest.
Also, just
and even
point
though
the
Astros just won again, he was awful in the postseason.
What's up, Steven?
Just want to point out the chat reminded me that Colton Wong's now a Mariner. I forgot he got traded over there.
He is a Mariner. He's not a Brewer.
But he was with the Brewers last year.
They decided they didn't want him.
Right.
He also, Shane also says Jake Cronin worked too. From the Padres. He's pretty good, too.
They love him. He's moved to first base, they're saying?
Or is he? I'm not sure.
So I guess you couldn't say right now if you wanted to put that list.
There's clearly some dudes they left off outside of Nico Hoerner, but, I mean.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you. I wouldn't. Yeah. Three quarters of the guy in that list, quarters of them. I wouldn't trade Nico Horner for any of them.
Yeah. I'm with you.
And some of the ones at the top, like Steven said, are making absurd amounts of money. So if you want to factor the money into it, it's not even close.
Yeah. I think the one on there that irks me the most is Brendan Donovan, especially after what Ryan just said about how he played all across the field, which I knew he could do, but I didn't realize he didn't play a lot of second base.
Here's I had it pulled up.
He didn't
up.
Play a he, whole season.
He had played 38. He didn't play a whole season either, I think it was 38 or 34 games, Brendan Donovan, at second base the whole year. And which, to be fair, was the most he played at any one position last year. But to say like 38 or whatever it was out of 160, that's not even a quarter of the season at second base.
Yeah.
He was a really good utility player, and especially in this day and age, like, those are very, very valuable. The versatility is entirely valuable in Major League Baseball. But when you're doing a ranking like the best second baseman, and you're going, this is a guy that was the utility guy for the Cardinals last year. It's tough to like really say like he, even if he is a good second baseman, if this is a guy that's going to keep moving around, like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe he's not a when you're putting together a list of second basemen, he doesn't really fit the criteria just because he plays all over the field and not there. Like, there was that one year when Chris Bryant wouldn't have been on like a third base, you know, all-star list or whatever, because he was at 21 maybe when he made the all-star team and left field, didn't he? Because he played left field like the entire year, didn't even play third base.
In 2019, right?
Well, whatever year it was in the last few years, one of his all-star years that he was pretty much.
It was 2021, maybe, probably.
I know he, because that was a year he was playing like mostly left field, and it was one of those years where they were like, they needed Chris Bryant to play all over the field just because guys were hurt and they needed his versatility, and you wouldn't have ranked him as one of the top third basemen at that point, even though he probably could be, just because he was playing very little third base compared to the rest of the spots he was playing.
Yeah.
It's one of those to me. Like, I wouldn't have put him on a top 10 third baseman list just because he played left field probably like the majority of the games or more games than he played third base that year. It's weird. It's a weird dynamic to me.
And speaking of the list, just to see Marcus Semien up there is just for the other side of town. When you think about when we come up with these crazy trades on our podcast or any other podcast or any TV show, and you say, well, I'd include this guy for this guy, or let a guy just leave the organization, a la Kyle Schwarber, there are times you regret it. I would say the Sox might regret Semien almost as much as they regret Tatis, seeing it kind of what a turd he's become a little bit.
And I think he was part of the Jeff Samardzija trade for the White Sox.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Whoops. Like, you know, they really got that one wrong.
So be careful who we include as a throw-in guy. Sometimes we overvalue our prospects and young players in our favorite organization, and sometimes you undervalue some of those guys, and they make you regret it greatly.
Yeah.
Thing is you can get past, you can move on from some of those blunders if your organization has depth and is really good at developing players. So, unfortunately for both teams in this city, we have both been, you know, held back because of those decisions, and have struggled to maintain prospect depth and continuously churning out, you know, good prospects. So that's the other end of that spectrum.
Yeah.
Did we do Fernando's super chat?
Fernando,
always in your super chat. And
shout out to Fernando.
Shout out, Fernando.
MLB is slanted. Mad Dog would number 10 guys from the 1940s.
Yeah. Nothing against the guy, but he's super hot takey. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. I'm not attacking MLB Network in any way, shape, or form, or anybody specifically on the shows, because I think almost everybody on there is really good. This list is garbage.
I agree. I was just saying that, like, he can be super hot takey, and like the way sometimes he says some things to, like, where he's kind of still stuck in, like, you know, old school, and it's like,
he has some
dude,
old
it is 2023. Can we get a little bit more modernized here? So I get what he's saying, as in Fernando.
Right. That's why they paired me with you guys.
Yeah, we balance each other out,
I was going to be in the 70s and 80s a little too much.
Luke was going to be yelling about batting average every day.
Can Leon Durham get some respect?
And pitcher, he still talks about pitcher wins, if we're being honest.
He did mention pitcher wins yesterday when we were talking about Kyle Hendricks.
That's right.
Saying that he had more wins than Lester, Arrieta, and someone else.
That's factual. You can't deny that.
It is correct.
That's why when I went to look at this graphic and this ranking, I made sure to put old school stuff and the new school numbers so everybody could understand. It was a graphic for the people.
Luke was on. Were you on Fangraphs or Baseball Reference to get those WAR stats?
Both.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm saying I mixed it. I did some Baseball Reference.
Look at you.
The WAR was
WRC plus two.
The WAR is from Baseball Reference.
Yeah.
And the defensive metrics are from Fangraphs, and WRC plus was from Fangraphs.
Of course.
Where you got the WAR would make Brendan and Corey mad because they're Fangraphs. Podcast.
Yeah. Well, I kind of glanced at F War, which is Fangraphs War, right? I'm learning.
Yeah.
So the F War was again slanted toward Nico again. Like he was still the tops of the list.
Yeah,
so it didn't matter which one I used. I just tried to be, you know, fair to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't want Fangraphs to feel left out.
Do you know what B War stands for?
Yeah, baseball war. Okay.
Baseball reference.
Do you know what Green Ridge Farm stands for? Real meat. Let me tell you. Right now, it's getting close to 2 o'clock around here. Man, I'm starving. If I had a meat stick in my pocket or on this little side table, would I hammer that thing right now?
Yeah, but you can go for some meat sticks right now.
Meat sticks with some Goose Island. Let me tell you, that's a hell of a combination.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Naked Man firing up the grill right there on the balcony, throwing some meat sticks on the grill. And just even though it's winter, just get them going.
B war is that beer war?
It could be. G war, Greener's
Farm
war.
You guys
get
to watch this show for free. like, isn't that amazing? Oh my god.
Green Ridge Farm is a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option, makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks. Perfect for tailgating, happy hour, school lunches, these all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours with 16 grams of protein per stick to make a perfect post-workout snack. Meat sticks come in chicken, black forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. I think the chicken one was my favorite one that we...
Yeah, the chicken one's nice.
Had them all.
Mild taste. It's not too strong.
Yeah, you've had them all, but I really like the chicken. Haven't tried them yet. If you haven't tried them yet, you don't know what you're missing. They're delicious because they are made from recipes generations in the making, and being all natural, they deliver a fresh and flavorful alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. Right now, when you order any three meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, those meat sticks will be free simply by using code CHGO at checkout. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat.
The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually, last about 2 hours. Then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on right away. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. Don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. Ready to sign up for a facility assessment? Call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. Email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online on their website, comed.com/facility assessment. I saw Dustin saying this is his favorite part of the day, this show, and that his boss hates it.
Yeah.
Because he's not working and he's listening to the show, or does he work at the mayor's office?
Is to keep up with the chat, and so it slows him down on his work.
It's okay. You can take an hour out of the day.
Yeah.
What's an hour going to do?
Liam asked if his boss was his wife, and I thought that was funny.
It's a late lunch break.
Yeah.
Well, he is late a surgeon, though. Not
he's
really.
He's a what?
No, I'm making that up.
Okay.
All right, so we did some interviews. Ryan and I sat down with about five or six players at Cubs convention. Got a quiet room so we weren't distracted by all the noise. And today we're bringing you Tucker Barnhart, who is one of the under-the-radar signings for the Cubs this offseason, right? Like, yeah. Certainly not a lot of fanfare. It wasn't some big, flashy signing. But I think even on paper, you can look at it and say, I can see ways that this guy will help the Cubs win more games.
Yeah. I didn't get to be in on this conversation with you two, but I did sit in on the Ian Happ like podcast recording, and Tucker Barnhart was up there with Jameson Taillon, and he had a lot of great things to say there. So I'm intrigued to hear what he had to say to you guys after listening to that when I was at the convention.
Yeah, he's a very good quote. Like, his answers are very well thought out. He knows what he's talking about. He's been in baseball for a while. He's a good baseball mind. So it's always guys like that like to talk about baseball. You love talking to them just because you're going to have a good conversation and learn some things from him. So excited to recap what we talked about.
All right. So here is the Tucker Barnhart interview from Cubs convention. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be here on the chat to chat with you. We're here with Cubs catcher Tucker Barnhart. And Tucker, first of all, welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
Welcome to Cubs convention. And as a guy who spent a lot of time in Cincinnati, we know you know what Wrigley Field is like. But in the recruitment process of free agency, what drew you to want to join this organization right now?
Sure. Obviously, I think, first of all, I'm an Indiana guy. I grew up around here. So being close to home has always been a plus. I got super lucky in Cincinnati to be very close to home and everything. But in Chicago, obviously, is just about the same distance from Indianapolis as Cincinnati was. So that was at the top of the list for me, being close to my family. My oldest son's getting ready to start school, so that was one thing. And I think, I'll speak for myself, I think being able to play at the big league level, playing for the Cubs for me was like kind of a bucket list thing to do. Playing every day at Wrigley Field, being able to call that home was something that I think I didn't really get it until free agency, but it was something that was like a bucket list thing that I wanted to be a part of an organization that, from everything that I've heard from guys that I play with, they treat everybody with the utmost respect, and they bend over backwards to do everything they can to make you comfortable, make your families comfortable, and so it felt right. It feels right, and I can't be more happy.
We were introduced to you a few weeks back. You mentioned that during the process, you kind of leaned on Wade Miley, a former teammate of yours, as far as like his experience here. And you mentioned how he's kind of said like, no, he can't pick another organization that does it better. To hear that coming from a guy who was realistically in this organization for less than a calendar year, did that do anything more to kind of convince you this was the right move to make?
Of course. I Wade and I have gotten really close. We got really close in Cincinnati. I value his opinion and what he thinks at the highest level, and to hear him say as many good things as he said about the organization, from the clubhouse staff to the traveling secretaries to the coaching staff to the trainers, and there was no bad thing that he could say, or nothing, no critique that he could say that they wished that the organization would have done better. And so, I hold that in a high regard, and that definitely played a part in my decision, as well as the other stuff that I mentioned earlier. But it meant a lot to me for sure.
Jed and Carter in their panel at Cubs convention talked a lot about how in the free agent market, it just sort of, they looked at ways that they could beat the market, right? And defensively, I think it's pretty obvious that they thought that was one spot that they could do it. You bring some gold gloves with you, a lot of guys with gold gloves here. How can that impact a game maybe more than just a regular fan will look at it? Like, does defense get underrated in baseball?
I think it has a chance to, just because it's not the sexy thing. It's not the three-run homer. It's not the big hit or whatnot. But I think the way that I look at it, I think that baseball – you sustain periods of winning with pitching and defense. I think you have to be able to weather the times when your bats get cold. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. I think it's as simple as this to me. It's like if you pitch and play defense, you're going to be in a lot of close games. And you hear it all the time that one pitch, one play can change the outcome of the game. And that can only happen and that can only be true when you're in one and two run games either way. And in order to do that, you have to pitch and play defense. And I think that you – can underrate it, I think. I think underrated is a stretch, but I do think it's undervalued at times. I'm so excited. I texted with Hosmer when he signed. I said, "Man, we're gonna have gold all over the field," and he said, "You better believe it." So it's gonna be cool. I think it provides a level of confidence for pitchers that they don't have to be fine. They don't have to punch everybody out. We're gonna punch guys out, no question. But When you have the ability to, you have the Marcus Stroman's of the world that get ground balls at an extremely high rate. I mean, the confidence level that has to give when there's gold glovers all over the field, it's got to do something for your ball club for sure.
You've mentioned previously that 2022 wasn't quite the season that you wanted it to be. And reflecting on that and trying to move forward, obviously with the new team now, what are some of the things you've tried to work on this offseason? Like, what are kind of your goals for this offseason as far as once you get to spring training, you are able to kind of start that process of bouncing back?
Sure. No, it was absolutely not the season that I wanted to have last year. And quite honestly, the worst season of my career. But I learned a lot. I grew a lot personally, getting out of funks and learning what the warning signs, I guess you would call them, in terms of what I'm feeling or what things look like when I'm starting to go when things are starting to struggle a little bit, I guess, and how to recognize those quicker. And I think obviously even a guy like myself who's been around for a while, I think you still got to learn. You're still constantly learning, right? And I know that the player that I want to be, and I know the player that I have been in my career is there and is in there, and it's just there's a constant growth, I think, that you're trying to chase after. So to put like one specific thing or goal that I'm going, I'll keep that all kind of to myself. But I know that last year was going to be just an outlier year for me in a negative way, obviously. But there's a lot of good baseball left, and I'm really happy to be doing it in Chicago.
You mentioned growing as a player. There's different rules. A lot of rule changes come in this offseason. What do you think of the new rules, and how do you think they will impact the game, whether it's, the pitch clock for the batters, whether it's the bigger bases, which I still don't fully understand in my
head.
Like, I'm envisioning, like, a big bouncy room out right. of second base.
No doubt. The bases, to me, I think are just going to be something that nobody really even notices. I haven't seen what the new bases are going to look like, but I would think that it would have to be like as big as this table for us to really like notice that the bases are bigger. Yeah. Or like the old softball base or Little League base where you had the red or the orange one that you had to hit or whatever. Yeah. It would have to be something like that, I think. That's just purely an assumption. The pitch clock, I think over time, and I think in spring training, all the kinks are going to get ironed out and everything's going to be – it's virtually unnoticeable, I think, once the season starts. The one rule for me that and I know I'm biased because I'm a catcher, the pickoff rule, where I guess I don't know the exact wording of the rule, but there are limits to how many times pitchers can pick off when guys are on base. And being a catcher, that puts us kind of behind the eight ball when every base runner knows that the guy's reached his pickoff limit or whatever that is. And It's gonna be chaotic, I think, there at the beginning in terms of that rule. But I'm anxious to see how they go and how they work. I've always been a guy that like I use an old cliche that one of my buddies that played the big leagues uses. He's like, you don't buy tickets to the opera and expect a heavy metal show, and you don't buy tickets to a heavy metal show expecting the opera. So I think there's so many things that are going on, so many rule changes that are being talked about, that I think that we got to be careful not messing with the integrity of the game, because in between inning times and stuff like that, that's really not messing with the game. But the pitch clocks of the world, the limiting pickoff attempts, I mean, you're starting to mess with it a little much, in my opinion. But again, it's just the world we live in and world we play in, and we'll have to adapt, and we're pretty good at that, I guess, but we'll see.
Well, at least having caught Wade Miley in the past, you're a little familiar with the speed.
Right, no doubt. No doubt.
But as far as the bigger bases go, one of the theories that I've seen kind of thrown out there, I guess you don't really know until you do it, but with the, I guess, shortened distance in between bases, you know, guys sometimes stealing second base are out by mere inches, sure. Right? Have you thought about that, like how that can affect the way you catch and control the running game as far as if those inches are taken away from you,
yeah.
You got less a space to get a guy out, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. I think there's so many variables that go into throwing guys out. It's time to the plate, where the pitch is thrown, who the runner is, what kind of jump he gets. Now you're throwing another variable in the bases in. So, obviously, I think it's going to play a part for sure. But we'll see. I'm very anxious to get to spring training for a lot of reasons, and I'm very anxious. One of those reasons is the changing of the rules and how everybody adapts to that, and it's going to be interesting for sure.
Did you use PitchCom yourself last year, and what did you think of that? Was that
we did we started in my opinion, and it was nobody's fault. We just didn't think it was going to take. On this, or everybody wasn't going to use it right away, mm-hmm. but it ended up happening where most every team used it and we didn't. But we kind of just said the hell with it and made the pitchers do it the second half of the year. I love it. I didn't like it initially. I thought it was just another gimmick that they were trying to put in the game that was going to alter things. But I think it is a really cool thing. And I think... It's absolutely necessary now with the pitch clock. I think you have to. It's just so much faster, especially when there's guys on second base. You can't really run through a sign sequence, and if a guy shakes you off, you're going to be at the back end of the clock really quickly. So, I think it's a cool thing. I think I heard there's a rumor going around that there's a possibility that a pitcher has a transmitter, so if he wants to tell you what he's thinking,
mm-hmm.
he can tell you. Or by hitting a button or whatnot. So I don't know if that's true or not. I would like it if it was. I think it would be cool.
When you look at this team, and obviously as a catcher, you are obviously more involved with the pitching staff. The Cubs have built a lot of pitching depth, and especially with starting pitching, just from the other side of the ball, you know, behind the plate, what is your excitement level for that and knowing all the kind of dependable arms you got on the mound when you're going to be out there?
Sure, it's great. You can never have too many good arms, you know. I think it's inevitable that guys are going to go down, guys are going to need to skip starts, miss starts for certain things, and you need to have guys that are ready to go and as many of them as possible. So I'm looking forward to meeting all those guys. I'm from in a baseball setting, obviously meeting everybody this weekend, but having those conversations, learning who they are as pitchers. I mean, you can look at video, you can look at numbers, but it's hard to kind of get a feel or a grasp who a guy is on the mound until you're catching him. So like that, I think in spring training, those bullpens and the side sessions, even in the games, those games are so pivotal so that when we get here to Chicago on opening day, we hit the ground running and instead of having to feel each other out, when it all matters, you know. So it's I'm super excited. I went and played catch with guys yesterday. We had a little workout before everything last night, an optional deal that I went out and just got to meet guys, got to watch them throw and play catch and talk, and that stuff's big in my opinion.
I love to hear that you guys are already throwing. You haven't even made it to Arizona. You're willing to throw in this weather. Do you think your veteran presence and also Jan, I'm curious how well you know Jan, but between the two of you, that your veteran presence is something that can really benefit all of the young pitchers that are coming up, because it's not just the guys that are on the 40-man now, it's the guys that are coming up after them as well. Like, this team is really focused on developing pitching. The hiring of Chris Breslow really kind of changed changed the trajectory of this franchise,
sure.
for pitching. Like, do you think that you guys can really help them in that way?
I think so, for sure. I've talked with Jan. We exchanged texts and stuff after I signed, and just kind of talking about some of the guys. Obviously, talking this weekend. With Jan and I behind the plate, there isn't going to be a situation that comes up that's going to surprise us. It's like we've seen kind of everything there is. Jan won a World Series. I mean, he's seen everything, right? So I'm excited as hell to work with him, to learn from him. I think we both have a lot to offer to our young guys. I think you have to have, at this day and age and the way baseball is played, I think you have to have two everyday catchers. I really do. And I think that at any time out there, if it's me or if it's Jan, it's a starting caliber catcher that's behind the plate for our team, that has the best interests of the guy that's on the mound at heart every game, every inning, every pitch, that we want them to do as well as they possibly can, obviously. So I think we do. I think we have a lot to offer this group of pitchers. But we have some veteran arms too that we're going to be able to learn from. I think it's everybody consistently trying to get better every day is what's going to get us to where we want to go for sure.
Before we let you go, my biggest question, and this is the rumor around the Cubs convention, The Dark Knight is your favorite movie. Can you confirm or deny that?
It is. It's my favorite movie.
Okay, sure. Well, then we're going to get along just
no
fine.
No doubt. I love it.
He could tell you. I have claimed that is the greatest movie ever made.
It's a very, very well-made movie. No question about it.
So there we go. We'll get along just fine.
Perfect.
I have one more question.
Sure.
If you're an indie guy, are you a St. Elmo's guy? Do you like the super hot shrimp cocktail? And if so, what Chicago restaurants are you looking forward to trying during the season? Because we're known for food, obviously.
Yeah, that's a loaded question because I am a foodie for sure. My wife and I are foodies. We will try anything, everything, you name it. So to answer the first part of your question, St. Elmo's is good. The shrimp cocktail is good. It's not my favorite spot. I think the steaks are good. The shrimp, if you go there, you're going for the shrimp cocktail for sure. But the second part of the question, we've had a lot of very good food in Chicago already just traveling in. So I'm excited just to continue to learn about the city and try new spots. I'm a big fan of trying new restaurants, new types of food, new cuisine. So there isn't one that sticks out in my head that I've been to Alinea. We've been to the RPMs. We've been to Gibson's. We've done everything that has been talked about when we've traveled in here. But I'm looking forward to finding the holes in the wall and pizza spots and stuff like that.
Well, then real quick, speaking of food, you're not on the Reds anymore. Skyline Chili?
Terrible.
There you go.
I don't mind saying I said it when I was in Cincinnati. Okay. I think it's terrible.
That's all I need to hear.
You put noodles in your chili, like spaghetti noodles in your chili. I'm out.
So you got better food out here, for sure.
We're going to like you. We're going to like you for sure. Thanks for coming on.
You bet, man. Thanks for having me.
Had a lot of fun with Tucker Barnhart. Got to tell you about Goose Island, the official beer of CHGO, and we're supported by Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer since 1988. Their beer roster right now, Blackhawks Pale Ale in limited release. Hawks and Goose Island Beer Company have been neighbors for about 25 plus years. The Goose Pub is in the UC. It's been open for about 10 years now. Tap room, great pregame destination. We went there right on Fulton, had a good time for our commercial. Bull City 312, limited release, very good. Christmas IPA. What's your favorite right now?
My favorite right now is this... I mean, it's not the Bulls or the Blackhawks one, but this tropical beer hug.
The IPA.
From Goose. The IPA. Yeah. It's an Imperial IPA. To be honest with you, I'm not a big IPA guy, but I like this
that one.
And maybe it's because of the 9.9 alcohol percentage or whatever.
For the vibes.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. I'll let y'all decide. All I know is vibes. That's my thing. So
I've always been more of the.
I absolutely recommend one.
I'm a standard beer guy. 312.
312 is good too. I also like Green Line. Green Line's one of my favorites as well. Good.
Goose Island, two local locations, open and ready to welcome. Grab a beer right now from the innovation tanks at Goose Island Tap Room, 1800 West Fulton, or get a smash burger and a fresh beer of the week at the original Clybourne Brew House, 1800 North Clybourne. Good place there as well. For reservations, pick up. Go to gooseisland.com/locations. Goose Island Beer Company. Happy to have them on board again. Going to be part of our virtual chat.
So
happy hour.
You were talking about their tap room.
Yeah,
right. It's a great pregame spot. You can go there pregame. Mm-hmm. You could also join us at the Blackhawks takeover coming up in a couple weeks. At the Goose Island, pregame spot at the UC.
Oh yeah.
And you can
you can join us at the takeover, or if you can't, you can get your tickets on Game Time for a future game at a Blackhawks game, or a Bulls game,
or
the Cubs this summer, White Sox too, if you just want to be nice and give them some money. Let me tell you, Game Time, it's the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. It's possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal this season on, like I said, Blackhawks, Bulls, this summer. You know, the summer's right around the corner, guys. Cubs, White Sox, if you're one of those weirdos who likes both teams. Created by the fans, for the fans. Guarantees the lowest price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. If you're on YouTube right now, or if you're listen to it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen to us, it's in the podcast description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and scored the best seats to all your favorite events. Man, that felt good. I've been wanting to do that ad read for a while.
Begging for it. Well, I mean, 110% into that one.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Tucker Barnhart, I really like him as a person, just in the first initial conversation we had with him.
Mm-hmm.
Before we played the interview, I said, I think he could be an under-the-radar move. I don't think he's, is he going to be the MVP of the team next year? No, but I think they needed that extra piece. We kept saying, well, Wilson's gone. What are they going to do with the second catcher? And for a while, we thought maybe P.J. Higgins would just be the guy with Jan Gomes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think Barnhart is one of those. He's a good major league player, but he's a very good defensive catcher.
Yeah,
and that's just the route they're going, right? And I think he kind of put it out there. He said like last year was a disappointment for him, but he hopes it's his outlier, and he hopes to prove with the Cubs that he's the other guy.
Yeah, and it's kind of what we talked about, like especially around the time that. Became clear that Wilson wasn't going to be re-signed and come back to the Cubs. It was more like, okay, we know what the Cubs have in Jan. We know what they want to do with their catchers and cheaper options that provide really good defense that can handle the pitching staff well, call a good game. Like those soft factors, the intangible kind of things is what the Cubs were looking for, and that's obviously the direction they went. Barnhart, two-time Gold Glover in his career. I think it was 17 and 20 was when he won Gold Gloves. He's going to be splitting time with Jan Gomes, and I think that's a good thing. Is like you're not counting on him to be your starting catcher. You have two veteran guys who know how to catch major league bullpen or major league pitching staffs, bullpens obviously of course, but major league pitching staffs and do that well, are respected in the game for that. You don't know exactly what you're going to get offensively from them. You might get a few Jan Gomes-type games. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I think we were sitting on here, the watch party we had, right? The Jan Gomes game is what we called it.
Esteban Kiro's game is still the most famous.
He still hasn't let that go. He still wants those who you got points.
Maybe Tucker Barnhart can have some games like that too. But I mean, they're not going to – if they can get you somewhere near average offensive production from the catcher spot, I think you take that because of what they bring defensively.
Right.
So, I mean, the move was always – it was more of a low-key minor move, but it was a good move as far as bringing in a guy who's going to help the pitching staff, especially the younger pitchers along well. And he's not going to – it doesn't seem like he's going to cost you games. He's going to provide good veteran – a good veteran presence in that clubhouse. And, it's a good signing, and he's a good guy. He's obviously a great guy. You can tell from that interview. I'm excited to see kind of what he – if you can kind of rediscover a little something and bounce back, let that 2022 be that outlier year he talked about. We'll see if he can do it, but I'm curious to see how he kind of goes about his time with the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when the people who are kind of down on the Cubs catchers right now, which I get it, Wilson was the guy, right? You got to remember that Wilson DH'd like a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that the Cubs are going full-minded defensively on this position, to me, it's an underrated move. Because when you have a catcher like Wilson Contreras, who had made the All-Star team as many times as he has, was a fan favorite, all these things, and he goes to your rival team, the fact that the Cubs just kind of threw all that to the side and said, we want to go this route because of this. It shows like their belief in their pitching staff and how good those guys are at what they're good at, which is being a defensive catcher. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, whatever they give you offensively is a plus. But again, you know how many times we saw Yan Gomes batting in the middle of the lineup last year? Like way too many times. This year, you're probably going to see him and Barnhart batting either eighth or ninth. And eighth, if David Ross tries to go with that classic, you know, leadoff hitter in the ninth hole or whatever, you know, to turn the lineup around, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is not an everyday thing. It was a, you know, every now and then thing. So you're going to see those two guys at the bottom of the lineup, and whatever those guys give you offensively, it's going to be – it'll be a plus no matter whatever they do on those days. And Yan Gomes had his days. And when I think of Tucker Barnhart, the guy almost was like a little bit of a Cubs killer. Not a major one, but, like, there were times where that guy, like, beat the Cubs a few times over, you know, in his years with the Reds. And, again, I'm not saying he's some offensive powerhouse. But, yeah, he needs to get back to – what he was doing with Cincinnati, because when he was with Detroit, it wasn't I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like a different team or the fact that the Tigers are just awful. You know what I mean? Like
Detroit will bring anybody down,
right? So, you know, it obviously is a big bounce back, prove that you're still, you know, a solid major leaguer type year for him. But again, he's gonna play what 62 games, 82 mm-hmm. games, whatever, somewhere. I can't math. 80 some games, because he's going to split time with Yan Gomes. So whatever they do for you on offense is great. You're just hoping that the lack of offense that they have doesn't bring the team down, and if it does, that means the guys that you're hoping are giving you offense aren't performing. And so then we'll start to look at them being liabilities if that does in fact happen. So that's the only downfall of the route that they went. But again, I don't hate the fact that they did that.
No.
Well, Ryan, you mentioned the pitchers, right? And
yeah.
How he'll benefit young pitchers. And think of all the different voices that they've now put together to speak to these young pitchers when they come up. Not just Tommy Hotovy and Breslow. Like they have on that. That's the pitching side of it. Then you have, don't forget, David Ross is a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you have two defensive-minded catchers. So you have three guys that can talk defensively from a catcher's perspective to these pitchers about what they need to be doing. Thinking deeper into the game about pitch selection, pitch location, all of that stuff. So they're getting their background from a catching background, and they're getting it from a pitching background. So they've clearly made the focus on run prevention.
Yeah.
But I saw Michael Collado also mention that, like, he said he's
trying to be positive.
Yeah, he's weirdly positive.
That Jed has sort of collected a good group of positive influences, right? Basically, and I'll take that one step further in that I think back to the Bulls when they used to, it seemed like only draft guys from big programs. They made a point of saying, we want guys from winning programs. So that's how you end up with Kirk Heinrich, Chris Duhon, Lou Alt-Deng. It worked on some. It didn't work on others, right? This isn't that. They're not taking guys that are just good guys or positive clubhouse influences. They're also taking guys that have a defensive background. I think this is a smarter route than actually what the Bulls were doing on basketball side of it. Like, just taking a guy from a winning school doesn't mean he's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This at least has, you can see the direction where it would influence the young pitchers. It might influence Miguel Amaya.
Right.
Like, Tucker Barnhart's not going to be here forever.
Right.
Yeah. And neither is Yan Gomes. So if Miguel Amaya is your next catcher, or it's one of those guys behind him who, you know, kind of broke out a little bit last year, now you have two veteran guys who can say, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Amaya's a guy, like, we've talked about prospects. He's one that we keep kind of forgetting about because he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to play in the WBC, and they said at Cubs convention that he's healthy. He's going to be coming to camp. Like, nothing holding him back. So I do think that their veteran leadership and knowledge and all that could be very good for someone like him. That's kind of like what Montero and Ross were for Contreras. So, you know, I like where the Cubs are with what they have in catcher. And I know it's an unpopular opinion because so many people were, you know, huge fans of Contreras. But I refuse to believe that losing Contreras is going to be the reason that the Cubs don't make the playoffs next season.
Yeah, because there are ways to, you know, kind of offset what you lost with him. Bringing in guys like, you know, Dansby Swanson has had two really good offensive years that if he can continue that trend should be good. You know, you hope that Seiya Suzuki takes that step forward after a full year in the major leagues and a real regular offseason. You hope some other guys can take steps forward. So there's ways to offset what Wilson brings. But when you look at it defensively, you know, not, and then again, not to knock him, but just the reports that you see, his scouting reports, all stuff, it was never about what he did defensively as a catcher as far as game planning, calling a game, you know, the soft factors. Like, that was never part of what, you know, the reports said Wilson was really good at. The reports say these guys are really good at doing that kind of stuff. That's the direction the Cubs are going, and we're going to see if it works out for them in the way they want it to. But, you know, at least they're kind of sticking with it. You know, they got two high-character, defensive-minded guys behind the plate now in Yan Gomes and Tucker Barnhart that, if it works out the way they want it to, are going to really have a positive impact. Maybe not with the bat, but just positive impact overall on this pitching staff, the pitching infrastructure, the, you know, just helping these guys acclimate at the big league level. And that's the goal, and that's, if that happens, I mean, they knocked that out the park. And turning the direction, going away from Wilson and going in this direction, if it works out the way they wanted to, like, that's, they obviously were correct in that.
At least they picked a lane, right? Yeah, like, at least they picked a lane on which way they want to go. And I do think when you talk about Wilson, the first word that comes to mind for me is passion, right? So they're trying to replace a lot of things. They're trying to move more defensively minded, but how do you replace his passion? Well, they're replacing his passion in different ways. If you listen to Dansby Swanson in his opening press conference, there was just as much passion for the game. He just told you in a more quiet, he told you that he was going to be more of a quiet leader, lead by example guy. He wasn't necessarily going to be pound the chest, get on my back, which everybody loved that about Wilson. And I'm not saying that's the wrong way. That's who he is. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a lot of the guys that they've brought in may also have the same passion for the game, the same love for the game, but in a quieter, former fashion, their leadership comes across slightly differently. So maybe that's another thing. Maybe their leadership message is reached differently by young players than somebody else. I don't know if that's a fact or not. I just know if you have to replace Wilson Contreras, one thing you have to replace is his passion, and I think they're doing it with different forms of passion.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have some guys that you're going to want to run through a wall for next season. Like, if Steele comes out hot like he was in the summer of last year, guys are going to, like, fans, players are going to want to, you know, people are going to get excited for Justin Steele Day. And, like, Christopher Morel is another one of those guys that shows emotion and has passion. And Nico Horner is a fan favorite, and he's a guy that that front office has even said, you know, has leadership qualities. And, and we were just talking about him, about how, like, he should be a top 10 second baseman on that MLB Network. They have other guys that bring the same type of energy that Wilson Contreras is. Wilson Contreras, why people loved him as much as it did is because he was just very open about it. Like, he, like, whether it's crying in the clubhouse before the deadline, or, you know, at the end of the year, whatever it was, whether it's that or you know, anytime the Brewers hit him and he charged the mound or something like that.
How about when he circled home plate and slammed his bat down? Yeah, and like, ejected. Like, I loved it. Don't get me wrong, I loved it.
So, like, but to say that they don't have some guys that have those same types of qualities, maybe it's just not as out there.
Just don't wear the heart, the emotion on their sleeves. Like, yeah, as much. Carlos, that's
perfect. I mean, we're going to miss the bat. There's no doubt about that. But I think that this team is built on pitching and defense. That if they're going to be successful, it's going to be it's going to be because of that.
Yeah. And yeah, pitching and defense, people have been mentioning it in the chat, and it takes me back to something Tucker Barnhart said in the interview, that basically what he was saying is that, you know, when you build your team on pitching and defense, because the offense, you know, will have its slumps off, the bats will, mm-hmm. will cool off here and there. But if you have the good pitching and you have the good defense, it's going to keep you in a lot of games. It's going to keep you in a lot of those 1-2-3-run games. And what we saw with the Cubs last year is once the pitching started to get more stable, like the rotation, guys weren't often on the injured list the entire year, like kind of more second half type. Once you saw that start getting stable, you saw even more of those 1-2-run games. And the part that sucked for the Cubs is that they didn't have the offense to win most of those games. Like, they were in them, but they weren't winning them because they didn't have the offense. Now you're building a team that's even better defensively, looks to be even better pitching-wise, and then you hope that Dansby Swanson can carry over what he's done. Nico Hoerner, if some of those guys, if things go right offensively, the Cubs are gonna find themselves on the other side of those 1-2-run games a lot more often than not, than compared to where they were in 2022. They were losing a lot of those 1-run games just because they didn't have the offense to make up for it. Whereas if things go right, they'll be on the other side of that a lot more often in 2023 because the pitching and the defense is better and is going to keep them in those type of games.
And again, those the first half of the year where it was so bad, the reason, even though they were in a lot of 1-run games, their bullpen kept them in it. But and then they would, you know, they would, the thing is they would fall behind early. Now that I think that the starting rotation is a little bit more shored up and a little bit more, you can feel a little bit more confident in it with Stroman, Tyone, Steele having the big, you know, year that he had last year for the standards that we had set for him, on top of, you know, Drew Smyly, and, you know, you have depth with Samson and some other guys. Like, you can go into 2023 feeling good about the starting rotation depth. So if they just are good, you potentially could, you know, have a chance to get a lead before you give up a bunch of runs, because that was really how the Cubs lost a lot of games in the first half of last year, was just their starting pitching unable to even go more than four innings.
Speaking of Justin Steele, we'll have our interview with Justin Steele coming up a week from today, next Thursday, here on the CHGO Cubs podcast. Ryan's going to have an article coming out with more from Tucker Barnhart at allchgo.com. If you're a diehard, by the way, don't forget, discounts, you get the card, you get the merch. You get
the tailgates,
all the events, but the virtual party coming up, the virtual happy hour. We're looking forward to that on Wednesday. Definitely. Then we'll follow it up on Thursday with Justin Steele.
Yeah, everyone in the chat, we love talking to you through the chat, but make sure you're on there. You got to be a diehard to be in that happy hour next Wednesday at 8 p.m., February 1st. So make sure you're signing up, diehard membership. Go to allchgo.com and get that done.
Please.
Join us. Hop in with us. We'd love to talk to you.
Shout out to Carlos. I like that comment.
You wear your emotions on your sleeve.
Yeah.
That's fair.
He does wear his emotions on his sleeve.
It's not even just
actually,
for the
Cubs.
Actually,
he wears his emotions on his Jordans, but that's a different story. Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you download the app. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up. Corey and Brendan have a podcast coming on Friday for you. We will see you back here on Monday. Until then, fly the W.